Father Hoyt came onto the balcony, rubbing his face with both hands. His eyes were wide and unfocused, a child rising from his nap. "Are we there?"
"Fucking aye,"
cried Martin Silenus, returning the binoculars to the colonel.
"Let's go down and greet the gendarmes."
The young Marine lieutenant seemed unimpressed with the group, even after he had scanned the authorization wafer Hetmastine had passed along from the task force commander. The lieutenant took his time scanning their visa chips, letting them wait in the drizzle, occasionally making a comment with the idle arrogance common to such nobodies who have just come into a small bit of power. Then he came to Fedman Kassad's chip and looked up with the expression of a startled stoat.
"Colonel Kassad!"
"Retired."
"I'm sorry, sir," said the lieutenant, stumbling over his words as he fumbled the visas back to everyone. "I had no idea you were with this party, sir. That is, the captain just said... I mean, my uncle was with you on Brescia, sir. I mean, I'm sorry. Anything I or my men can do to..."
"At ease, lieutenant. Is there any chance of getting some transport into the city?"
"Ah, well, sir..." The young Marine started to rub his chin, and then remembered that he was wearing his helmet. "Yes, sir. But the problem is, sir, the mobs can get pretty nasty and... Well, the damn EMVs don't work for shit on this... pardon me, sir. You see, the ground transports are limited to cargo, and we don't have any skimmers free to leave the base until 2200 hours. But I'll be happy to get your party on the roster for..."
"Just a minute,"
said the consul. A battered passenger skimmer with the gold geodesic of the hegemony painted on one flare skirt had landed 10 meters away. A tall, thin man stepped out.
"Theo!"
cried the consul. The two men stepped forward, started to shake hands, and then hugged each other instead.
"Damn, you look good, Theo."
It was true. His former aide had gained half a dozen years on the consul, but the younger man still had the boyish smile, thin face, and thick red hair that had attracted every unmarried woman, and not a few married ones, on the consulate staff. The shyness which had been part of Theo Lane's vulnerability was still there, as evidenced by the way he now needlessly adjusted his archaic horn-rimmed glasses, the young diplomat's one affectation.
"It's good to have you back," said Theo.
The consul turned and started to introduce his friend to the group and then stopped.
"My God, you're consul now. I'm sorry, Theo, I wasn't thinking."
Theo Lane smiled and adjusted his glasses.
"No problem, sir. Actually, I'm no longer consul. For the last few months, I've been acting Governor General. The Home Rule Council finally requested and received formal colonial status. Welcome to the newest world in the hegemony."
The consul stared a second, and then hugged his former protege again.
"Congratulations, Your Excellency."
Theo grinned and glanced at the sky.
"It's going to rain in earnest before long. Why don't we get your group aboard the skimmer and I'll drive you into town?"
The new Governor General smiled at the young Marine.
"Lieutenant?"
Yes, sir?"
The officer had snapped to attention.
"Could you get your men to load these good people's luggage, please? We'd all like to get in out of the rain."
The skimmer flew south above the highway at a steady 60 meters. The consul rode in the front passenger seat. The rest of the group relaxed in flow-foam recliners behind. Martin Silenus and Father Hoyt appeared to be asleep. Weintraub's baby had ceased crying in favor of nursing on a soft bottle of synthesized mother's milk.
"Things have changed,"
said the consul. He rested his cheek against the rain-spattered canopy and looked down at the chaos. Thousands of shacks and lean-tos covered the hillsides and gullies along the 3-click ride to the suburbs. Fires were being lighted under wet tarps, and the consul watched mud-colored figures moving between mud-colored shacks. High fences had been rigged along the old spaceport highway, and the road itself had been widened and regraded. Two lanes of truck and hover traffic, most of it military green or shrouded with inactive camouflage polymer, moved sluggishly in both directions. Ahead, the lights of Keats seemed to have multiplied and spread across new sections of the river valley and hills.
3 million,
said Theo, as if reading his former boss's mind.
At least 3 million people, and growing every day.
The consul stared.
There were only 4.5 million people on the planet when I left. Still are,
said the new Governor General.
And every one of them wants to get to Keats, board a ship, and get the hell out. Some are waiting for the Farcaster to be built, but most don't believe it'll happen in time. They're afraid.
Of the Ousters?
Them, too. But mostly of the Shrike.
The consul turned his face from the coolness of the canopy.
It's come south of the Bridal Range, then.
Theo laughed without humor.
It's everywhere. Or they're everywhere. Most people are convinced that there are dozens or hundreds of the things now. Shrike deaths have been reported on all 3 continents. Everywhere except Keats. Segments of the coast along the main, and a few of the big cities like Endymion.
How many casualties?
The consul did not really want to know.
At least 20,000 dead or missing. There are a lot of injured people, but that isn't the Shrike, is it?
Again came the dry laugh.
The Shrike doesn't just wound people, does it? Uh-uh. People shoot each other by accident, fall down stairways, or jump out windows in their panic, and trample each other in crowds. It's a fucking mess.
In the 11 years the consul had worked with Theo Lane, he had never heard the younger man use profanity of any sort.
Is Force any help? Are they what's keeping the Shrike away from the big cities?
Theo shook his head.
Force hasn't done a damn thing except control the mobs. Ah, the Marines put on a show of keeping the spaceport open here and the harbor landing zone at Port R secure. But they haven't even tried to confront the Shrike. They're waiting to fight the Ousters.
SDF?
Asked the consul, knowing even as he spoke that the poorly trained self-defense force would have been of little use. Theo snorted.
At least 8,000 of the casualties are SDF. General Braxton took the fighting third up the river road to strike at the Shrike menace in their lair. That was the last we heard of them.
You're joking,
said the consul, but one look at his friend's face told him that he wasn't.
Theo, how in the world did you have time to meet us at the spaceport?
I didn't,
said the Governor General. He glanced in the back. The others were sleeping or staring exhaustedly out windows.
I needed to talk to you, convince you not to go.
The consul started to shake his head, but Theo grasped his arm, squeezed hard.
Now listen to what I have to say, damn it. I know how hard it is for you to come back here after what happened, but God damn it, there's no sense in your throwing everything away for no reason. Abandon this stupid pilgrimage. Stay in Keats.
I can't.
Listen to me. Reason 1, you're the finest diplomat and crisis manager I've ever seen, and we need your skills.
It doesn't.
Shut up a minute. Reason 2, you and the others won't get within 200 clicks of the time tombs. This isn't like the old days when you were here and the goddamned suicides could get up there and even sit around for a week and maybe even change their minds and come home. The Shrike is on the move. It's like a plague.
I understand that, but
Reason 3. I need you. I begged Tau Ceti Center to send someone else out. When I found that you were coming, well, hell, it got me through the last 2 years.
The consul shook his head, not understanding. Theo started the turn toward the city center and then hovered, taking his eyes off the controls to look directly at the consul.
I want you to take over the Governor Generalship. The Senate won't interfere, except perhaps for Gladstone, and by the time she finds out, it'll be too late.
The consul felt as though someone had struck him below the third rib. He looked away, down at the maze of narrow streets and crooked buildings that was Jacktown, the old city. When he could speak again, he said,
I can't, Theo. Listen, if you... No. I mean, I cannot. It would be no good if I did accept it. But the simple truth is, I can't. I have to go on this pilgrimage.
Theo straightened his glasses, stared straight ahead.
Look, Theo, you're the most competent and capable Foreign Service professional I've ever worked with. I've been out of things for 8 years. I think...
Theo nodded tersely, interrupted.
I suppose you want to go to the Shrike Temple. Yes.
The skimmer circled and settled. The consul was staring at nothing, thinking, when the side doors of the skimmer raised and folded, and Saul Weintraub said,
Good God.
The group stepped out and stared at the charred and toppled wreckage of what had been the Shrike Temple. Since the Time Tombs had been closed as too dangerous some 25 local years earlier, the Shrike Temple had become Hyperion's most popular tourist attraction. Filling 3 full city blocks, rising more than 150 meters to its central, sharpened spire, the Shrike Church's central temple was part awe-inspiring cathedral, part Gothic joke, with its fluid, buttressed curves of stone permabonded to its whiskered alloy skeleton, part Escher print with its tricks of perspective and impossible angles, part Boschian nightmare with its tunnel entrances, hidden chambers, dark gardens, and forbidden sections, and more than anything else, it had been part of Hyperion's past.